It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yep, I'm back. It's me and you again. Muhammad is not in, but it's us. We protected the streak. I'm glad you're here, lending your ear. Hopefully it's crystal clear. I hope y'all good. Are you good? How you been? Yeah? Okay. That's crazy. Yeah. Again, we'll talk about that after. I'm good too, though. You know, another week in the books. We closing out 2025. I almost called it 2026. That's how over this year I am. It's been a good year, but when it gets to this point, that post-Thanksgiving, you know, the momentum of the inertia of the fucking earth spinning is like, man, let's wrap it up. Let's get to the end of this shit. Let's let it, you know. I'm grateful for all of these days. So let me not just rush out. I feel like, you know what, I guess I feel like Eric Adams. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just like, all right, wrap it up, dog. Y'all, you know what I mean? I don't want to say y'all don't fuck with me. I mean, Eric Adams might feel that way. He's like, all right, y'all, let's wrap this shit up. Go ahead, get your man. You know what I mean? All right, bat. Yeah, it was cool. But I'm ready to go. I'm about to put this out of office email up and chill. Go to a hookah lounge. You know what I'm saying? This is all Eric Adams still. This ain't me. You know, I don't fuck with that hookah shit. How y'all doing, though? How's your Thanksgiving? Y'all still eating them leftovers? Be honest with me. Be honest. I'll be honest with you. This is tonight's the last night for me. Mind your business if you got a little bit more restraint. Yeah, this is it. After this, I think I'm tossing it. But, yeah. I am. I'm not even going to lie to you. Because it's either that or cook some shit. And I ain't cooking. I got this food here. It don't smell bad. And I ate some this morning and nothing bad happened. So that's my barometer. That's how I judge the whole shit. I ain't sick, so we could press on. We could push it to the limit. You know what? Honestly, on some real shit, Thanksgiving aside, I don't know if it's because I've gotten older or just because I cook more, I don't really respect expiration dates like that. That's a suggestion. That's what they tell you, too. That's a suggestion. That's so they don't get sued. You know, like, yeah, I'll smell. Make sure, you know, okay. It seems all right. You know, like, a couple days, depending on what it is. Couple days past the expiration date, you know. I'm doing Googles. And then I'm looking at what Google tell me to check for, texture, if it's slimy, if it smell weird. But more often than not, you could get away with a lot of this shit. You could really get away with it. And I'm not going to really tell you how far I've gone, but there's certain things, like obviously produce and vegetables, like fresh vegetables, that window is not as forgiving. So I don't really play them games, but canned foods and things that got preservatives in it and all of that, that's when you realize, yeah, this shit is not true food. You know, this is the food product, or what do they call it? Foodstuffs, things of that nature. But yeah, there's stuff where I'm like, yeah, fuck that. Let's try this. Let's go ahead. Let's see about this. And shit, it's worked out so far. But yeah, I'm definitely liberal when it comes to that. As a matter of fact, I put something up on the IG stories a while ago with an old lady talking about, you know, hot sauce. And she was like, when it get brown, it's good. Now, see, I don't prescribe by that. I don't really lock into that theory. I've never even looked at it like that. But I do know what she's talking about, sadly. You know, but I will say this, I got hot sauces. I mean, yeah, I got some old joints. I got some pre-pandemic hot sauces that I still fuck with, and it's cool because it's vinegar, it's salt. Like, it's not going to do too much. Again, I've Googled this, and I've lived through it. You know? So, yeah, I was joking. I said I got like a wine cellar of hot sauces on the door of my refrigerator. And that's true. I got soup. I got all types of hot sauces. I mean, like, some of them shits date back. You know? I'm not going to lie to you. Some of them shits date back. And they fine. They still got their little tang to them. So, it is what it is. I made a soup with some soup stock. Not the actual stock, but like, you know, the little powdery stock. You know, like the little gray soups and stuff like that. This shit was past the expiration date. Shit was slamming though, you know. So listen, don't be me though. Don't live like me. Cause I'm only responsible for me. I'm not telling you to do this. But if you live this life and you still live it, then you know what it is. You know, it's a secret society. You know what I mean? And I live alone. So I'm not preparing this shit for people. If I'm cooking some shit for people, I'm going to make sure that all the ingredients are up to snuff. FYI, I'm going to do that. I ain't going to have you out there. Now, if you ask for some hot sauce, I'm going to ask you what year. You know what I mean? What year you looking at? I got a good vintage Trappies. 2019 that you might want to check out. It's got a good kick still. Anyway, back to Thanksgiving. Though Thanksgiving was a good time. You know, went out, seen the people, seen the family. It was just us, the family, this year. It was, you know, nice little intimate Thanksgiving. I was about to say quaint, but I don't know if I want to. It was just us. We was kicking it. But yeah, we had a good time, good laughs, good jokes, you know what I'm saying, good conversation, like real, yeah, good conversation. We were just really, for the most part, chopping it up the entire night. The food was great. I'm still eating some of it now, so that's how good it was. Food was great. We ain't even doing a movie. That's how good the conversations was. We were really chopping it up. It was a good time. We ain't even doing a movie. I had the Patty. You know Patty still out here with the baked goods. You know, people, there was a full on frenzy about her Patty pies. Patty, you know, back in them days. The Patty pies is, they be on deck, and I like the Patty pies. They cool. You know what I mean? They not bad. They're solid. But I, for years, was a big fan of the Patty Peach Cobbler. And the Patty Peach Cobbler is still up there in the hierarchy of amazing baked goods that you can get from Walmart if you fuck with that place. But anyway, my brother-in-law put me onto the Blackberry Cobbler, which I would see every so often, and kind of was a little curious about it. So we had some at the Thanksgiving. That shit is all right. And Blackberry Cobbler's aight, you know. And I'm not even a big Blackberry fan, but that Blackberry Cobbler is kind of fire. And it just made me think, I've finished up season 2 of the Vince Staples Show. And one of the best things about that season, one of the funniest parts about that season is a Mr. Cameo singing Blackberry Molasses. I won't tell you no more about that, but that, I mean, I kind of said enough. But yeah, but anyway, back to this Blackberry Cobbler. The shit is fire. And now this was the crazy thing. When I went grocery shopping about a week ago or something like that, I was in the ice cream aisle and I seen Jenny's. You know, I mess with Jenny's every so often. They get very expensive on the ice cream, but I'll be honest with you, certain flavors, it makes it worth the investment. But I seen that they had what they called it, a boozy eggnog. I said, wait a minute, Jenny. Hold on, you talking my talk. You know what I mean? A boozy eggnog? Because typically I might go get me like a little, what is it, a quarter eggnog? I forget who makes it. Hudson? One of them people. Not Turkey Hill. You know, Turkey Hill's okay. But there's like another purveyor that does a good-ass eggnog. That shit is outstanding. Don't look at the label though. The shit got everything wrong with it. You know what I mean? In the way of, you know, the shit you shouldn't overindulge in. But anyway, so they got the boozy eggnog. Jenny's. I said, wait a minute. Jenny's and eggnog? I'm fucking with it. You know what I mean? Let me go get this instead of that. I get back to the crib. I'm excited. I couldn't wait to, you know, fuck with that shit, crack that open. And then, so I cracked it open. And I'll be honest with you, that shit was regular as fuck. I was very disappointed in Jenny. I was like, what's going on? And then what I noticed, because I'm like, boozy, what's the deal? I noticed it was Uncle Nearest. It was Uncle Nearest whiskey with Jenny. Like, that should be a nice little collabo for those that fuck with both. I'm not the biggest Uncle Nearest fan. I'm sorry. I love black business and all of that. And you know what I mean? Justice for Fawn Weaver. But I'm not, maybe the one I had, it wasn't the best. But yeah, man, the Uncle Nearest and the Jenny collabo did not do it for me. It does taste good, though, when I scoop it on the blackberry cobbler. But alone, it's just regular. It ain't terrible, but it's just, it don't have any depth to it, is what I'm saying. Like, eggnog, good eggnog has depth. And this shit is kind of, eh. It's just, especially for the price point and for it to be Jenny and for it to be Uncle Nearest. I figured it would have a little, like, something about it. You'd be like, okay, nah, that's that. This shit regular. I'm ready to be, I'm almost about to make some fucking eggnog bread out of it, but we'll see. I don't think so. I already had too many spoonfuls to where it's like, I don't think the ratio would be right. But, so yeah, you know, I did that. I'm doing the leftovers. On the Instagram, you know, like I'm looking at a lot of this Thanksgiving content. I was talking about the single serving Thanksgiving last week. What I've noticed, there seems to be a lot of like discussion about, there's a lot of banana pudding purists out there. Like a lot of people that like they have these banana pudding wars. You know what I'm saying? Like there's the traditional, which I don't choose no side, but I grew up with, I guess, what I would assume is the traditional. But now there's so many, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like the creative license that people are leveraging the banana IP with. You know, some people are very against the strawberry banana or putting strawberries in the banana pudding, saying that's not banana pudding anymore, that's strawberry banana pudding. You know what I mean? Or this is a big one. You know, a lot of people, traditional banana pudding is Nilla wafers. Like, that's always been the thing. You know what I mean? Well, this is another thing. There's always been the thing, Nilla wafers, right? A lot of people are putting what they call chessmen, you know, the little shortbread cookies. A lot of people are doing that. And then there's the people that do banana pudding but don't really actually have bananas in the banana pudding. I do feel like that is an instant disqualification, but that shit happens more than you would think. What I did find out, and I didn't know if this was true, because I guess I wasn't clocked, you know, I wasn't paying attention and whatever the fuck. And, trust me, I didn't do that thing with my fingers when I said clocking, but, I wasn't paying attention when people were making the banana pudding, but they were like, and banana pudding needs to be baked. I don't know about all of that. I never realized that. I never thought about that. I think every time I had banana pudding, it was either room temp or cold. I'm one of these people that enjoy puddings and cobblers. I like a little cold or room temp. I don't really go with a heated. Don't heat my sweet potato pie. You know what I'm saying? I like a little texture. When the shit get a little too like warm custardy, it's fine, but it ain't my type of thing. I could do it, but listen, it ain't my type of thing. Anyway. This is what I do on the pod now, so I just talk about fucking cuisines and shit. Fuck it, man. This is what it is. This is where we at in life. This is where I'm at in life. Did y'all boycott Black Friday? I'm waiting for y'all to answer. Did y'all boycott Black Friday? Because I didn't know we was boycotting Black Friday. I thought we was just boycotting Target. I still haven't fucked with Target in a long time, even though I do have some Target bags, like some thick-ass Target bags that are very helpful when I bring my groceries in. Sometimes I'll be thinking about turning it inside out because I think people think I done crossed the line or something like that. But trust me, the solidarity against Target is still strong. And I've gotten over it. But, like, yeah, I'm still locked in. But I didn't know we was boycotting Black Friday overall. I found that out a little too late. Typically, I don't even really participate too much in Black Friday. It's been a long time since I've really been a participant. You know, I probably haven't really participated like that till back in the days when you had to go outside in the real fray when it got dangerous in big box stores, whether it's Walmart, whether it's Target, whether it's Best Buy, where shit could go left over a fucking Vizio 60 inch. You know, this is years ago when 60 inches was like a crazy come up. 60 inch $30 TV, motherfuckers ready to throw hands and shit like that. And it's like, come on, you gonna do all that? You gonna plug that TV? It's gonna work for 3 hours, and you gonna be pissed off. You know what I mean? Because you almost got slapped. But anyway, yeah. So it turns out there's a boycott and people are upset. I did actually buy two things during this Black Friday, and like I said, typically I don't participate because I be thinking the whole shit is a hustle. But I ain't going to lie to you. These two things that I got, I actually got real deal savings. These are some shits that I've been looking at for a minute. I said, yo, wait a minute. And when I pulled the trigger, this was the crazy. This was the beauty. This the beauty of the Black Friday bliss. I pulled the trigger. Bow. Already significant savings. Wow. Crazy, right? And then I had planned, I was going to pick it up just to even save more to get away from the shipping. Don't be like me. But anyway, turns out where I was going to pick it up, I guess they didn't have the allotment or whatever. But in that time that they hadn't really confirmed or given me any shipping notice, shit, I got emailed a whole nother discount code. So now that shit gives me significant savings on significant savings. I thought maybe that one would cancel the other out, but no, it didn't. So I had to hit them people, say, listen, I ain't been able to get my shit yet, and I was going to pick it up. But listen, how about I already get it shipped, because I know y'all don't have it where I need to pick it up at, and I use this code. Would that be fine? Because it's actually going to be cheaper if I do it like that. And they were like, go ahead. I did it. It was amazing. So, yeah, there's no Black Friday regret for your guy. It's nothing but, you know what I'm saying, two arms up in the air, victory type shit. It's a victory. I felt great. I felt great. But y'all, all y'all that are boycotting, that knew about the boycott, hold the line. I appreciate our solidarity. I like when we flex our financial buying muscle on this motherfucking empire. I do like that. So yeah, I'm joining the boycott now that I got what I needed. You know what I mean? I mean, it's already what, Cyber Wednesday, so I mean, I probably missed the boat. But either way, you know, salute to y'all. I'll be there next year. If I remember, and if the deals, well, no, I'm not even going to say if the deals are crazy. Now, if we boycott, just give me the heads up. That's all I need. If we in the fight, just give me the heads up. Let me know. Don't let me know after the fact. Like, nigga, we was fighting. Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought y'all was, I didn't know what that was. What else, man? I just came back from the Guggenheim, just literally right before I cracked this mic. I just came back from the Guggenheim. I went and seen the Rashid Johnson exhibit, the poem for deep thinkers. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. Rashid Johnson is a multidisciplinary, because he does all types of shit. He does some paint, he does some photography, does some all types of media. You know, sculpture, all of this shit. But I came across his work, I forget where, but he had this thing called The Anxious Men. I think it started around COVID or whatever, but it's like, he does a lot of like line drawing. If you see his stuff, you've probably seen his stuff. You put in Rashid Johnson, you probably see the stuff. Does all these little line drawings of like faces of men. But it's like all of this chaotic line drawing that kind of speaks to the anxious men. You know what I mean? So that was like the first thing that drew me in. I think they got like a big ass Rashid Johnson piece in LaGuardia Airport. I'm almost positive. I know they do. When you arrive, when you come in, there's a big ass Rashid Johnson piece that's kind of fly. But yeah, nah, the shit was cool. Nice little museum visit. I believe, I could be wrong, but I can't remember. I think this is my first time ever in the Guggenheim. I was telling my homie, who I actually ran into at the exhibit. But this might be my first time at the Guggenheim, because, you know, I always hear about it. I forget, who is it, Gary or Frank Lloyd Wright? I think it's Gary that designed the Guggenheim. Who designed the Guggenheim? I think it's, think it's my man. Yeah, Frank Lloyd Wright. Okay, so if you see the structure, the shit look fly. Looks like. Woom, woom, woom. That's what it looks like. It looks like fucking Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a code. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. Y'all see it. Go Google this shit if you don't know what I'm talking about. But it does look like woom, woom. I'm just having a good time. Anyway, so, but you know, I think I've always seen the shit from the outside. And I've seen, you know, photos of it from inside. But like, when I went in there, I'm like, oh, that shit fly. Now, what was interesting is whoever's, I guess, the main exhibit is along the ring. And, you know, the ring goes up and up and up and up and up. And then that shit get high out the blue. For me, I'm not the heights guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say I'm afraid of heights, but I don't really fuck with heights. You know, that's how cats sometimes kind of confront their fears. They don't claim them all the way, but they say they don't fuck with what they, you know, afraid of. So I don't fuck with heights like that. And because anytime I'm like very high, if I'm like on a terrace or some shit or like at the edge of a rooftop, you know what I mean? Like anything like that, I, for whatever reason, I think there's a term for this, but I always think about falling over, not throwing myself over, not on a suicide tip, but like tumbling over and splattering, even in certain malls. I don't fuck with, like, the mall, you know, when you go over there, you can look down, all that shit. I don't play them games, man. I stay far from it. But this shit kind of come out the blue. Like, you up close to the edge, you know what I mean? Like, out of the blue. I said, oh, shit, this is crazy. And that's where I was like, I must have never been here before because this type of shit is a little uncomfortable. And I'm glad I did this run dolo. You know, I bumped into my homie, but I'm glad I did this run dolo because I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'd have been cool, but I'm just thinking if I had a lady at the Guggenheim and these heights just came out of nowhere. That shit, I get visibly uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? I'd have to play it off a little bit. You know what I mean? Or, you know what? Nah, I ain't going to play it off. This is who I am. I don't fuck with heights. That's me. So yeah, but y'all go ahead, check my man out. How long is he at the Guggenheim? I don't know. He's going to be there for a little bit. I'm not going to do all the, well, I guess I could do the Googling if they got it. Yeah, he's there through January 19th. So check out my man, Rashid Johnson, black dude out of Chicago. You know what I mean? So yeah, that was cool. I see my man, Steph Curry, is having the time of his life being a sneaker free agent. If you don't know, Steph Curry had his own brand at Under Armour, and he just left Under Armour, I don't know, about a month or two ago, something like that. When the news came out, it was kind of surprising to me for a number of reasons. I used to have a homie that worked at Under Armour, too. I hit him up because I'm like, this shit is kind of crazy. Like, Steph Curry, it's almost like the face of Under Armour. You know what I mean? Good and bad. You know, he's the face of Under Armour. And Steph Curry's kind of, I don't want to say in the twilight, but he's far along in his career. So, you know, typically, I thought, you know, just like I think he's going to retire with Golden State, I thought he would just kind of see this whole contract out. So I'm like, yo, what's going on? You know, that's my first mind. Something crazy must have happened. Because if he done, you know, live through all of this Under Armour slander. Because Under Armour's never really, to me, been cool at all. But, you know, they say it's, like, really good. You hear me? I say they. I still haven't. I don't think I've gotten any. Maybe I've had a hoodie or some shit like that. But I don't really play the Under Armour footwear at all. I just can't do it. But people say it's great footwear. You know what I'm saying? And, like, Steph kind of carried the cross. You know what I mean? Like, to me. You know, and Steph is cool because he's not like, Steph is like a good guy, straight across the board. An amazing fucking athlete, best shooter in the fucking game, super performer, like in his entertainment value, like him doing all them trick shots before and after the game. You know, you could tell he's really good with fans. You know, he's married and they got a night. Seemed like they got a cool marriage and all of that. They got the kids. He used to bring Riley was his daughter, I think. I think, but bring the daughter up to the, I think he might have been, don't quote me, because somebody probably was doing it before that, but I feel like he might have been amongst the first athletes to bring their child to the, you know, like to the press, you know what I mean? Like to the little, to the post game presser and have them get on the mic and all of that shit and be, you know, cute or lightweight, annoying. You know what I'm saying? I see it differently. I ain't got no kids. Sometimes I'll be like, all right, get that kid out of here. You know, but other people be like, oh, that's adorable. Look at the bonding moment. But I'll be like, all right, it's enough. It's not even funny. But anyway, yo, Steph was there through all of that. And something made him say, you know what, man, enough of this shit. Now, one is speculation that somebody, not speculation, but I believe one of the owners or the owner of Under Armour or even Under Armour as a company may have donated a lot of funds to the Trump campaign. But, you know, who knows if that was something. But then later on, it seems like, you know, Steph was trying to court Caitlin Clark to come over to Under Armour. And I guess Under Armour didn't really put in a real serious bid. You know, and then she got scooped by Nike. No telling that she probably wouldn't have got scooped by Nike anyway. But, you know, it'd have been kind of cool to have two of the ill shooters, you know, WNBA, NBA, all under the same Under Armour brand. But from what they are reporting, he seemed like he was a little tight about that shit, and that might have been the last straw. And he stepped off. But anyway, enough of that backstory. Now that he done stepped off, he done got his feet out of them Under Armours. They go back and forth. He'll wear a Curry from the past every so often. But, like, this cat has been wearing, like, you could tell he been dying to wear some of this shit. Because he is, this man is digging in the crates, dog. He got, what's this motherfucker got? Let me look at some of these shits that he got. He done wore all types of Jordans. He's worn the, I forget the first thing that he jumped out in where it was like, okay, I know he's wore the flu games and he's being smart about it. I think he wore the flu games in Chicago as a homage or maybe in, was it Cleveland? But like he's doing basketball history too. It's not just the styles. It's like the styles plus the knowledge. You know what I mean? Like, again, this is Steph Curry. He's a good guy. So there's he wore the flu game, the 12s. He wore them shits. He wore the last shots. I think he wore the last shots wherever the last shot happened. I want to say, I don't know if the, because I get the last shot confused with the shot over Craig Elo. But I thought Craig, I think that was the Cavs. I thought he had a different shoe. I don't think he had the 14s on, but he had the last shots. He wore the, and it's not just Jordan. So he wore the T-Mac Adidas. So now he really, you know, he digging in the crates and he's paying homage to these people he fuck with. I think, I don't know if he was playing in Orlando. I don't know where he was playing. Well, I think he played, I think he had the pennies on when he played in Orlando as like a salute to Penny. You know, he's wore various PEs, the CP3, Jordan 13s. He's played with the Zions. I mean, like the Iversons, you know, like he going all over both the Travis highs and the lows. Like it's not just like hype sneakers, you know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of them are fucking hype sneakers and shit, but he's like that T-Mac 3 was like, okay. He played in the Shaqnosises. Like he doing he letting you know. I know y'all see me over at Under Armour, and I know Under Armour is what Under Armour is. Y'all probably thought I ain't had no motherfucking taste palette when it came to the sneakers, but I fucking do this, cat. I don't just shoot threes and shit and whatever sneakers. Nah, nigga, I'm nice. I know what was cracking out here, and I know the knowledge, so I'm just going to let y'all know, and I'm going to live my best life. You know what I mean? I don't know if he's trying to court somebody, because, again, I'm saying he's deep in his career, so I don't know what type of deal he would get, you know, but, like, they just having a good fucking time. So it's kind of cool to see. It's like, you know, the people, you know, they've been calling Steph Curry sneaker watch. Like a lot of people, he's bringing some excitement back to the game and shit like that in that way, you know, because it's just great. It's like if fucking Jordan just threw on a pair of shell toes, You know, like, I mean, not really. Jordan's 40 years deep, but you get what I'm saying. It's like if KD just threw on some motherfucking Anthony Edwards sneakers, even though Anthony Edwards been wanting KD to rock them shits forever because that's his guy, but you know, exactly. It's kind of fly. And it's cool to see, you know, these deals that everybody think are just locked in kind of collapse. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I like to see capitalism catch a bad one. You know, sometimes I do. I ain't gonna lie to you. Sometimes I like to see that shit. Speaking of, I don't know if this is capitalism, but I guess I just saw this thing as I was queuing up to do this. I was watching this YouTube, quick little YouTube doc, and it was about older people working after 80. Not because they just want to do it, but because their retirement is fucked up and they have to do it to live. And when I tell you that shit was like the most depressing 13 minutes I've seen in a while, like that shit was sad to see, you know, like there was no whimsy in this shit. Motherfuckers got to, they got to put food on the table and it's tough, you know, and a lot of them talking about, yo, make sure you save for retirement because, you know, one dude was talking about how he had all this money in his 401k and then the market dropped and he got nervous and sold all of his stocks. And this happens a lot. Like, you know, the stock market, if you choose to partake or choose to engage with the stock market, I think you need to know that you need to have a level head and you need to understand that the market will undulate. It'll go down and it'll come back up, like more often than not, if you're looking at the history of it all. But due to the fact that it's attached to money and oftentimes people's full-on savings, like a big chunk of their life savings, that shit could get scary and people could move emotionally. And it's not the smartest thing to do when the fucking, when the stock market collapses and all your shit is at a low to sell it off at the low, because now you're not going to get no money. You know what I mean? But it happens way more than you think. And he had the crazy regret. You know, he was like, he said, listen, man, he said, had I not sold that shit off, I'd have probably had at least $1 million and I'd have been just living off the interest. And I try not to think of that because I would wake up screaming. I was like, damn. You know what I mean? I felt it for him. That's how crazy this shit was. But yeah, man, whatever y'all doing with your money, because it's tough out here. You know, it's tough. And it's always tough. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you catch a lick. Sometimes, you know, it's ups and downs and all of this shit. You know, and it's just like, I don't know, man, seeing that at the end of the tunnel, because it's enough when you in the prime of your life, you know what I mean, in your earning years when shit gets turbulent, you know, and there's strain and stress about finances. Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't, you know what I mean, and it goes up and down or whatever, but like, you know, whatever you could do now to make it easier on you for the future you, yeah, do that shit, man. It was at least 6 old people in this documentary that was giving their story. And I'm heeding that word, you know. Shout out to them. That shit was, oof. Yeah, you know. But they alive, too. That's the beauty of it, too. I mean, you know, shit. But I don't want to be morbid, but I don't know. I want the motherfuckers to see some of the bills and be like, look, lay me down. It's a wrap. I can't do it, nigga. How many hours? Shit. Like, this one lady, she's in her 80s. She's working 4 jobs, 7 days a week. Come on. Come on, man. 80, you supposed to be chilling. Supposed to be chilling. I mean, you know, if it all works out, you should, you know, ideally, it'd be nice to be chilling and shit. I mean, you know, watching geriatric porn. I don't know if you watch geriatric porn. Watching porn, maybe. Eating traditional banana pudding. You know, that ain't where. Salute to the seniors that listen to the pod. You know what I mean? On and off work, you know. Salute to y'all. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate you. Yeah, I preach for sure. Like, you know what I mean? Especially if you got hearing, you know, difficulties and shit, and you still manage to listen. Yeah. I'm being honest here. Let me say this. I've been active. I've been trying to avoid. Y'all, do y'all fuck with rage bait? Can you identify rage bait? Like on the internet, can you identify rage bait? I've realized that rage bait is like a commodity. It's like a real big tool to get some engagement up there and make some money. Like a lot of people, they thrive in it. And once you realize it, it's like, oh, okay, I'm not going to engage. I see this is some bullshit. But it the way that it is, like there's so much covert rage bait that goes on the internet that it's like, it's like a minefield. And I find myself like being proud now when I can spot it and not engage. Because the old me, I see the rage bait, and then I want to see more of this shit. I say, oh, they on that bullshit? Let me see more of that shit. And it upset me because that's what rage bait do. I took the rage bait. Like, the shit was made to rage, make you rage. And I can't give you any examples of rage bait that works on me in this moment, but if I do come up with something, I'll let you know. I will tell you what I don't like, and sometimes some are better than others. I call them skituations. One of the rage baits, I don't always fall for this, but this is common rage bait where it's like, you know, the dating woes and all of the little 50-50 conversations and, you know, we went to, this nigga took me here on the first date. I can't believe this shit. How would he take me to this space? Even though we don't know each other, it's the first time we ever really go have a conversation face-to-face, but he chose to take me to this restaurant where, you know, I can't believe it, and they got the camera out. Would y'all date a motherfucker like this? This nigga's broke. He like, bitch, I ain't broke. You know, all of that shit. And people circulate that shit as if it's real. And more often than not, that shit is some shit that they just put together. They've been working with each other. They grifters. You know what I mean? They motherfuckers that hustle on the train together doing three-card Monty or put the ball under the cap. That's what this is. That's the content equivalent of that. But for a while, like, I would see so many people sending me this. You see this shit, man? See this shit? This is ridiculous. And I'm like, all right, relax. This is a skituation. You know what I mean? It sets up a premise for people to talk about, but that whole shit was fabricated and faked in a motherfucker. That was a Tyler Perry play. But here's what it is. I'm avoiding it, though. I'm ducking it. You know what I mean? Staying sucker free. I finished The Beast in Me on Netflix, the Claire Danes joint with Matthew Rhys. It was all right. It was fine. It was, you know, it kicked off. I thought it was going to be really good. The first two episodes, I was like, oh, shit, this is it. And it was all right. You could check it out. I'm not going to say it's not good, but it's fine. It's fine. It's 8 hours. So, if you got 8 hours, you want to try something new, fuck with it. I watched that. I watched the first episode of the Diddy documentary this morning. I didn't really have too much expectation. I just knew, this shit going, 50 could be petty. You know what I mean? I'm surprised the shit came out. And then I see the cat. I see Diddy was trying to, like, I guess maybe shut it down because I guess they got footage that he didn't know that gives, like, real, like, when you see, especially if this first episode, you seeing, like, some real behind-the-scenes shit. I guess somebody bought it off, you know what I mean? And, like, this first episode was a doozy. I ain't gonna lie to you. This shit is a doozy. I don't wanna, it's a doc, so it's not, like, a spoiler alert, but y'all watch that shit if you want, and you let me know what you think. This first episode, boy, they setting some shit up. I'm going to watch the rest of the shit. It's crazy. I watched that. I started Pluribus on Apple TV. I don't think I'm going to stick with it. I watched the first two episodes. It's not really pulling me in. And I like Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad and all that. I fuck with him. I never got into Better Call Saul. I hear great things about it, but I just never locked in. And I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get into Pluribus. I know cats have been talking about, yo, y'all should talk about Mayor Kingstown. We hear it, and we might. I think we're a couple seasons behind, though, which is always a challenge when them seasons go by, because it's like now, I don't know. We'll see. But, and then I seen that Dreaming Whilst Black came back. That's the second season. I just watched the first episode of that. I really fuck with Dreaming Whilst Black. I don't know if y'all are hip to it. I feel like I've talked about it before. It's a BBC production. And it's whatever. It's on Showtime. And then, you know, Showtime get a little weird now because Showtime don't have its own dedicated streaming app. So you kind of, if you want to see some Showtime shit, you might have to go through Paramount Plus, or if you actually have a old school cable box, you could watch it on the on demand or whatever, whatever. But like, yeah, if you could get there, this shit is worth checking out. This shit is worth checking out. It's really, I think it's really funny. I think it's well done, and it's cool. It's cool. It's done in the UK. Speaking of that, I know last week I was like, this ain't the UK. And I ain't want to disrespect our UK listeners. I be forgetting, nigga, we global over here. You know what I mean? World Wide Web. We out here. Motherfuckers is listening to our shit in Tanzania right now. You know what I mean? On blast. Shout out to my people out there. But I think that's it, man. I think that's it. We did a 40-piece. Drop 40 in the garden. I was going to talk about these Meta glasses. I'll say this. Look, man. I feel like Andy Rooney right now. I respect the technology of it all, but I hate the surveillance element. I don't like to be spied on. You know what I mean? And motherfuckers is taping you unbeknownst to you. I'm not with that, all that shit. That shit kind of crazy, but yeah, I mean, that's all I got. I just wrote Meta glasses. That's all I got to say. Ain't too much debate. It's just me and y'all. And I can't hear y'all, so that's my take on it. You let me know if y'all fuck with Meta glasses. Eastville Comedy Club. I'm going to do an hour. I'm going to headline Eastville Comedy Club, December 27th. We just locked that in. December 27th, a couple days after Thanksgiving, come out in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Go have a good time. You know, just chopping it up, running it out. We're gonna have fun. Come on out. I'm put the ticket link up. It should be up by the time you hear this. And that's it, yo. That's it. I feel like, yeah. That's it, man. Feels good. Feels good. Talk to me. Hit me up. Let's engage. Let's talk about some of this shit. What's going on? You know, what y'all listening to? This Nas album's coming out on the 12th. Excited about that. What y'all fucking with? What you watching? You know, all of that, you know? And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. Leave it in the
mind. Hello.
Conversation.